This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of geekdad.com. This is episode 140, The Gallifreyan Elephant in the Room. We're back. This is the Geek Dads, episode number 140. I am Ken Denmead, publisher, Grand Nagus of Geek Dad, and we have a fantastic crew tonight. We have a very large crew, and that's really good because I think we have some really geeky stuff to talk about this week. There's been some stuff really near and dear to our nerdy hearts, and I think we're going to geek out a little bit. So before all that, I will go around and introduce the room. Hopefully somebody is like tweeting us and everything else so folks know that we're here and we can get some actual... Oh, you know what? I'm going to turn on the Q&A. So we have the Q&A tool running as well. And people, if they go to one of the sites, can... but you can only turn it off before the... You can only turn it off before the podcast. So I already screwed that up. Never mind. Oh, well. Hey, everyone. There's Matt Blum. Hi, Matt. How's it going?
It's going all right, Ken. This was a pretty good weekend. But
You've gone full Grizzly Adams. Things are going
well. Yeah, so... pretty much. I got to trim it one of these days. Yeah, it's more white than brown, which is also, you know.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes. No. Just showing my age.
Yeah. Awesome. We also have Mr. Jonathan Liu.
Hello, how are you?
Doing fine. So you warned us ahead of time that if you disappear from the podcast, it just means somebody's having a baby.
Well, you know, it's not just baby duty that my wife is on call. She's on call for, you know, basically any of the residents who need help. She might have to go into the hospital to
she's like
to take over.
Dr. Liu, Dr. Liu, help!
Yep. Okay. So then I'm on kid duty.
Excellent.
That happens.
We know how that goes. Mm. Yes. Excellent. We have Mr. Jason Cranford Teague.
Hello there.
Howdy. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. It's been a while.
It's been a little while. It's good to have you back. And last but least, it is Mr. Ryan Carlson.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Watch that.
Mochi, mochi. Wait a minute. That's Z and me on the hip tracks. We always do that. Anyway, how are you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing fantastic. I've actually been doing a lot of fairly geeky stuff lately, so... It's been pretty good.
That's very positive. Very positive.
Yeah.
Now, you told me we've been talking for the last week or so. You've got some podcast-related stuff that you have in the back of your mind that we might start running on our feed here.
Yeah, that's right. I've actually got a couple of interviews in the can. I interviewed the folks over at Tech 21 that used science to create some amazing polymers for protective cases. So we got into the science of like how they actually use real world technology like the polymers from bulletproof glass and airline windows. Actually really fascinating stuff. So Ooh. Science making better products, not just cheaper products, but ones that actually work. And then today I did an interview with Aaron Evans, who's one of the Forgotten Realms authors for the Sundering series. So she wrote a really good book. I love the Sundering series. So I got to be a complete fanboy, and she got to be a complete fangirl over Bob Salvatore and you know, our love of the realms and all of the rich history
nice.
There. And
nice.
So, yeah, it you know, and I've got a couple other interviews lined up with people who are inventing things or the origin stories on how they came about for their, you know, business ideas, I think are pretty clever.
That is fantastic. Well, yep. So folks can stay tuned for that. We're you know... We had our ups and downs with actually getting this podcast out over the last 6 months or so. That we're definitely back on track with that, and now we're actually going to boost our productivity here a little bit. So we mm-hmm. totally appreciate you doing this, Ryan.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, folks. I think we need to talk about the Gallifreyan elephant in the room.
Are there Gallifreyan elephants?
Well, not anymore.
Well, okay, fair enough. Were there ever any? Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for this whole group are pretty hardcore Doctor Who fans. And if you have not been connected to the internet for the last few months, the information is that next weekend, this coming Saturday, it marks the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, and they're doing a very big 2-hour special movie with some doctors crossing over and so forth, and the lead up to it has been rather exciting. And this week, we saw basically BBC put out something that blew our minds. I mean,
whatever happened to Paul McGann? Well, now we know.
Oh my goodness. I mean, so, you know, for the longest time, so Paul McGann, the 8th Doctor, who basically had one movie, one made for TV movie, one unfortunately produced by Fox, made for TV movie.
Made for Americans.
I mean, I remember watching it back in the day and it was okay. They did some things that didn't make sense. But it was the remarkable thing is that it is in canon. That has always been recognized as being in canon. It was a proper production in the series, and in fact, they even showed the regeneration of the 7th Doctor to the 8th Doctor at the start of it, and so forth. And Paul McGann as the Doctor actually has, you know, the love for him has developed over the years. People really came to appreciate what he'd done and wished he'd gotten a chance to do more than that.
Real quick, he has done a lot of Big Finish audio.
Exactly, the audio stuff.
Yeah, which are excellent.
Which now, apparently, are in canon, too. So, and we'll explain that a little bit. So the most phenomenal thing, I wish we could embed some video here and play it. It would be a lot of fun, but was it on, what's today? Today's two, was it on Friday, I think, that they put up?
Might have been.
I'm gonna forget exactly. It's just I've only watched it about 12 times so far. So so obviously the big 2-hour 50th anniversary episode that's gonna happen next Saturday and be simulcast all over the freaking world, which is, I wonder if that's some sort of record other than maybe Live Aid or something. Is called The Day of the Doctor. And so they put out just late last week this little 7-minute mini episode called The Night of the Doctor. And I'd love to hear how everybody reacted when you watched it. I sat down, I had it on, and was just sort of semi paying attention till this guy shows up, says, "I'm the Doctor."
But not the one you expect.
Which
is cute. Almost don't recognize him.
Different haircut and everything. It was like, what? Yeah. And from there, it was just my mouth was agape the whole time. So,
especially since it had been reported that he was going to have absolutely nothing to do with the 50th anniversary special.
Yeah.
It was
technically that's true.
drawing a blank. Showrunner
Moffat.
Yeah, Moffat was on record as saying that McGann's not getting anywhere near this thing. He's not having anything to do with it. And then to have that surprise, and I read some commentary that there were people who were kind of ticked off that Moffat lied to the community about this, and that how can we trust anything he said? Personally, great. Ken and I have joking back and forth all week that I don't want any spoilers. I want to know as little about this as going into it as possible. I'm going to see it in the theater on Saturday in 3D, and I want that to be as pure an experience for me as possible. So getting that jolt and that surprise with him coming in, that was just priceless.
Yeah, if he hadn't lied, then it wouldn't have been a surprise, exactly.
Yeah, because everybody would go, "Oh, well, McGann's going to be in then."
Yeah, as entertainment industry surprises go, I would say this is the best one of this year, at least. Not knowing what was going to happen and having something like, fans of Doctor Who, we love. I think there is a thing among geeks and sci-fi and fantasy fans and so forth. We love continuity. Comic book fans love continuity. Mm-hmm. And to have a show that has 50 years worth of continuity and can pull something like this off, just warms your heart. Warms so cool.
Yeah.
And everything in it was homage and was, you know, so the reference we made to, you know, the radio shows he's done. When this doctor is about to take the cup and start his regeneration, he actually calls out the names of friends and companions that were in the radio dramas that McGann mm-hmm. had done. So that's sort of establishing that those are canon. And so we actually do have a body of Eighth Doctor work out there now that we can look at, which is fantastic.
And the potential for more. I mean, there were, myself included, were calling for, hey, let's, why not have, lost episodes? They could do a kind of a break series for a year where they'd show him. And McGann has said he'd be interested, you know, with the typical actor caveat, if the scripts are good.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, of course he's interested. Yeah. I mean he
translates to if they make scripts,
if they want to do it, he'll do it, because he'd get paid a crap load of money for it, presumably. He's the only one they could get to do it.
He's also a really good actor. I mean, you know, when they chose him, they didn't choose someone who, you know, was a complete unknown at the time. He was at the time it was pretty well known.
So it just totally phenomenal. And obviously there was also, there's a continuity throwback to the fourth doctor with the Sisters of Karn.
That was the fourth doctor. Yeah. The
fourth doctor. Right.
Yeah. That's a very good, cult episode, the Keepers of the Sacred Flame.
Yeah.
They prance around singing. I actually got in trouble because my brother started to do that when he was 8 years old, and my stepmother wasn't too wild about that. So,
that was phenomenal. One of the best jobs of pulling the wool over fans' eyes and giving them something special that I've seen in a long, long time. And it only just sort of, and I think, energizes us all for what we're going to see this Saturday.
And really propelled the story along and explained a lot of what was going on with the woman he was trying to rescue and her reaction to him as a Time Lord and the hatred, the absolute hatred she had for Time Lords.
Yeah.
And as a result, the Doctor. Mm-hmm. And how at odds that was with what he's used to.
Yeah, that was pretty powerful. And then, so he makes the conscious choice to, all right, now it's time to stop being the nice guy, and you need to regenerate me into something that will allow me to stop this war.
Yeah, the War Doctor. And right. That's the big question now is, do we need to stop referring to the 9th, 10th, and 11th Doctor and start referring to the 10th, 11th, 12th Doctor?
Exactly. It's kind of crazy. Plus,
of course, they just sort of say that he wasn't really the Doctor at that point, that he was going to be something else. So,
yeah. But what's funny here is this all goes back to a bit of canon continuity that says the Doctor can only have 12 regenerations.
Right.
Or can only have 12 lives. So
12 regenerations.
12 regenerations. So. Yes. So this brings up the question whether or not Matt Smith's Doctor is the last Doctor or not, and how they would deal with then him regenerating into Peter Capaldi. And then, of course, people have, the real accurate, geeky people looking at stuff point out that I believe it's the transition from the second Doctor to the third Doctor wasn't technically a regeneration. They just changed his appearance.
I think you're splitting it, because they're in every way that was a regeneration, because it, not only was his form changed, his personality was completely changed, because mm-hmm. if you'll remember in the three Doctors, they hated each other.
Well, the question
absolutely, it looks like, between David Tennant and Matt Smith's Doctor, they're going to be like best buddies palling around. And, with the second and third Doctor, there was no love lost between them.
Yeah.
The question is whether also to count the 10th Doctor's regeneration back into himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't count that either, if you don't count that, then it 12 regenerations, assuming that the first doc, the William Hartnell Doctor, was his first form, would still allow you to have one after Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Right? Because it'd be 12 regenerations.
Well, and, so and
one,
then, of course,
one, the master, 1 plus 12 being, you know.
The master got around that through evilness by taking somebody else's life, basically.
Yeah, and some people say River Song gave the Doctor her regenerations.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they took the tachyons and put it through the main deflector dish. And the chronoton particles.
Learn your Doctor Who here. They reverse the polarity of the neutron flow. Okay.
There you go.
That's what you do every time.
Time vortex. Done.
Well, everything in Doctor Who is a time vortex, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's got his...
I always say time travel and evil twins are the two plots that get the hairiest, the fastest, and... Doctor Who seems to do all of those things.
Yeah. Well, actually, to the point in The Stones of Blood where they wanted a scene where Tom Baker's doctor was going to push Romana off a cliff as a evil doppelganger, and he refused to do the scene. He's like, we've done that. We've done that so many times. I'm not going to do it again.
So
you got a sonic screwdriver?
Yeah.
And of course, and then of course, there were some people speculating that Ian Holm was going to turn out to be the Valyard. Is that the character? I'm not as familiar with that as
preordained to be the
In between the 11th and 12th forms.
Ian Holm or John Hurt?
John Hurt, I'm sorry.
So, let me mention
now. If Ian Holm shows up, rocks, man.
I meant John Hurt. Yeah, you know, stately old British actors who've been in everything. You know, it's easy to get them confused.
Let me mention real quick. We've got the Doctor Who contest going on right now for all you viewers, and we are giving away this sonic screwdriver remote control. It actually is a infrared remote control that will control your TV and your Blu-ray disc player and anything else. I assume it could even control...
It's a universal remote, so you can program...
It's a universal remote, yeah. And it makes really cool sound effects. So,
and early... but will it open doors? That's what
I'm... Right.
Well,
it's not if they're made of wood.
If it's on a TV, yes. So, I'll be playing with this all night. Yes. So go enter the contest.
Is that the screwdriver making noise?
It talks to me.
Oh, that's what I want. I want my remote control talking to me.
It has silent mode.
You don't really want to watch that, do you?
Stop changing the channel. Stop changing the channel.
No, that's TLC. I'm sorry. We can't stop there.
Shouldn't you be mowing the lawn?
This remote goes into masculine mode. Sorry. Next.
So, who's going to anybody else going to get to see the Doctor Who special in the theaters? Has anybody else got that?
Yep. My family and I will actually be at the same theater you're at.
Oh yeah. Well, there's like 12 in the country. So
yeah. Yeah, I got tickets too. So
we can't make it up to the one in San Francisco, unfortunately.
Hmm. Well, it was weird because it went through a ticket company that I will not name because they could, I guess, sue us if I badmouth them here. But anyway, I tried to buy tickets there, and I had a horrible user experience where I clicked on what I thought was the link to buy the tickets, and I hung out there till well after the time you were supposed to be able to buy tickets. And I finally backed back out, hit a link that was right underneath the link I hit, and it took me to the page where you could actually buy tickets, but they were sold out by then. So fortunately, another venue I went to had them, so I was able to get 4 tickets. But
wild.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Well, it's weird. It feels like that was thrown together at the last minute. Oh, they must have been planning on it for a long time. So
yeah.
I wonder how the heck that all worked out. But
well. you know, I mean, if the Obamacare rollout has taught us anything, it's that, you know, you can plan things for many, many years, for several years, and they can still end up completely screwed up. So, you know.
Depends on who you contract it with.
Yeah. Yes. You know, as a software developer myself, I know exactly what they
I was researching that site for a talk I'm giving, the healthcare.gov, and I'm talking about typography, and I checked the font name of the font on healthcare.gov. It's literally called Bitter. The name of the font is Bitter.
That's subtle irony, yes.
We need to publish that. So, you know, we need to you ever read During Fireball?
Yeah.
He'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
True.
That would be a good one, because he's a font geek.
Well, maybe I'll write something up about that.
Yeah, totally write something up about that. That's fantastic. All right, so yeah, so Saturday is going to be amazeballs, and I know Moffat has very pointedly said that this is going to change Doctor Who forever. So we may be seeing some seismic shift, other than the fact that we're getting a new Doctor.
Well, that's
not happening in this.
Doesn't every single new Doctor change?
But that's not happening in this episode, right? That's not happening until
Christmas. Well, that's not happening until the Christmas special. That's right.
Yeah, this one's not supposed. Peter Capaldi's not supposed to be in this.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
So is it just me, or is the whole? Yeah, yes, it is. You know, the whole global cast. You know, I don't think it's just coincidence, because Doctor Who, when the new series came out, once the David Tennant stuff started hitting, every Christmas special, every time it was out, and it would air in the UK first, by the time it hit BBC America, you know, before it was first run type stuff, everyone in the US had already seen it, you know, because a friend showed them the episode that they got from someplace. And, you know, I think it's more of a reaction to piracy than it is, you know, let's have a global celebration of Doctor Who. I mean, sure, it's a great wrapping paper, but, you know, I think media is going to have to start moving for these first run big events. It has to move into this whole global simulcast.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. There's nothing more annoying to me than when I listen to a lot of British radio, and I'll go trying to find a song on iTunes that I want to buy, and I click on it, and I go and I try and buy it, and it says, this song is not available in this country for purchase in the United States. And I'm like, why not? I want to buy this. Take my money. Okay.
Yeah.
things are a-changing. You know,
not quickly enough.
Use the internet elves to find the music, but there are other ways to get the song that don't involve paying the artist, which, you know, I'm a big supporter of paying for the art you consume. So it's really stupid not to take money.
So did you guys happen to see that Comcast is doing a test program right now where, like, I don't pay for cable. I don't want it. I don't need it. I just want the internets, because all my media that I need, I get from there, from Hulu, from Netflix. But they're doing a deal where it's like $40 a month for, you know, super good internet and HBO Go.
Yeah.
Well, I got to look into it. I'm on Comcast. I actually got cable only because it was $10 cheaper a month than if I didn't.
Yeah.
I was like, so wait, if I get the basic cable package, it's $10 a month less. Yes. All right. Okay.
Mr. Jason, we get a kickback when you have the magic box underneath your other magic box.
Yeah. And so we never watch it, though. We've been without for since January 1st. And at first, my kids were a little freaked out, but we have hardly missed it. We have hardly missed it. There's not a single thing. We either buy it on iTunes if we can't get it through Hulu or Netflix. But I need to look into that $40 offer. You need to write something up about that, because I need to look into that. That'd be about half of what I'm paying now.
Yeah, I saw it on the interwebs, and I'm like, it's probably not for my market, because they were talking about California. And sure enough, I punted my zip code on the Comcast site, and they're like, here you go. They call it Internet Plus, and it is in direct response to piracy of Game of Thrones. The whole program was because everyone wants to watch it, And but they have to have the in, right? And I would love to have HBO Go just for that. So
mine came with HBO Go, and I actually really like having that.
Yeah. So, you know, the whole a la carte model for media is, you know, perhaps getting more real, but, you know, we're still never going to, like, HBO will never break off in the foreseeable future just because the revenue of having all of those subscribers.
The business plans have to go through a lot of transition before we'll get to that.
Right. I mean, look,
it's all bundled. I mean, yeah.
And I mean, it's taking newspapers a decade to go through the same and more, right? To go through
now
that.
Music went a lot faster, but it'll be somewhere in between the two. I gotta say, I just popped onto BBC America's Doctor Who page. They have video 50th birthday happy, you know, messages from celebrity Whovians. They've actually got Castle is on the front. Captain Mal is on the front here.
Oh, I'm sure he's a huge Whovian.
That's kind of cool.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go watch those after the...
Can you pass that link?
There's William Shatner, Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick? Get out of Chris town. Chris Hardwick,
Doctor Who fan.
Edward James Olmos. Very interesting.
Where are you?
BBC America / Doctor Dash Who.
Oh, okay, I'm on the wrong page. There we go. Wow.
And there's also a shot with from former cast folks, and there's Amy Pond with her almost shaved head. I mean, who was ever going to imagine that?
My daughter was devastated by that.
Yeah, Doctor Who is on the cover of TV Guide. The geeks have won. We've won.
Well, it's happened before. It was in the 80s. I remember there was a special article in Time Magazine because we all cut it out and, you know, had it laminated and framed. We were in Time Magazine now. Who fans are in Time Magazine? So we have arrived. It doesn't get any better than this.
All right. So in other geeky entertainment news, who was paying attention to the news that the surviving cast members of Monty Python are going to reunite for some projects?
No, I did not see that.
Yes.
There is supposed to be going to be a press conference on Thursday about it. But yeah, they're going to get together for a project.
Saying for so many years that they wouldn't do it without Chapman, you know, since as long, you know, once Chapman died, that was the end of the chances for them doing it. Yeah. But I guess they changed something.
They figured out a way to clone him.
They could make a lot of money doing that. I don't think they realized how much money.
Oh, I think they probably did. I think they probably knew how much money.
I think I heard Eric Idle today saying that he hoped they made a lot of money because he needed to pay his mortgage off.
Right.
But this is from a group that had an album called Contractual Obligations. So, you know.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you can't exactly take anything he says seriously. I mean, yes. I think he did. I think
comedian, of course you can't take it.
I think after the success of Spamalot, I think he's probably okay.
Yeah,
he's probably there. Yeah.
Spamalot.
They're all doing okay.
Spamalot did quite well, and he wrote the book for that. So he's
maybe they'll make a movie out of it.
Would not surprise me a bit.
So
that's one of my favorite is Mel Brooks was talking about some movie producer called and asked if he could get the rights to the producers, the movie version of make a movie of the producers.
Right.
So I wanted to know, you know, just as far as, you know, kind of geeky news, does anyone did run out and get your PlayStation 4?
I went and hung out in the Nintendo Airstream trailer today. They came through Portland and had contacted me, so I got to play some, you know, Wii U games and some upcoming Wii U games. But Unfortunately, yeah, I don't actually own any of
real
this,
gamer so will tell you that's not a third generation. That's not a next generation console.
I know.
But it's not a next generation console?
The Wii U.
The Wii U. Yeah.
I love the Wii U. It's awesome. Why is everybody always making fun of my Wii U?
It was pretty fun. Oh, and they showed the
dangerous Nintendo, thing to say, Jonathan.
The 2DS. Which is
the 3DS?
No, the 2DS.
The 2DS.
Which is they said, well, it's basically got pretty much all the features of the 3DS, but they took out the 3D for all the people who are concerned about
the lenticular,
concerns with eyesight for kids. But it's not a clamshell anymore. It's one solid piece with the two screens.
It's not hinged, which reduces the things that can go wrong with it.
Right. So I fiddled around. There's the Super Mario game and the Zelda game. And it's like, oh, okay, it's been a long time since I've played any of these.
So, Jason, it sounds like you're defending Wii U. Is there any particular titles that you like? And more importantly, do you have any that you found are fun to play with the kids?
To play with the kids, I mean, we play You Don't Know Jack, but we could play that on our Wii. Okay. We play a lot of You Don't Know Jack. The one that I play a lot is Batman Arkham City. That's just a monumentally awesome game. And on the Wii U, you've got this, controller with this independent screen that you do a lot of your action on in there. Okay. And you get maps in there, and you can do kind of that auxiliary activities while the main screen is showing you the action that's going on. And as far as I know, you can't do that with any of the other gaming
systems. No, you have to switch back and forth.
Yeah. The whole second screen experience is interesting, right? I mean, iPads and cable companies and media companies are really moving to that second screen experience.
And except for a game like that, I've never really seen it done very successfully. I mean, because when I'm watching a TV show, I want to watch a TV show. Now, I'm not a teenage girl, obviously.
Clearly.
Even my teenage daughter, I never see her. I see her over there, messaging her friends and stuff like that while we're watching TV, but it's never about the TV show. It's always about something else. So,
yeah. So which one is that? That's the Batman. Is that Arkham or?
Arkham City. And I'm really looking forward to getting, Arkham Origins.
It's not quite as good. It's not as good as I'd hoped. I have it for the,
That's spoilers. That's a spoiler. It's not as good as you hope.
You don't know how good I hoped it would be.
I thought Batman was going to come out on the screen. Well, to really blaspheme, though, I did get this week. I got it.
Enya? What?
And I got to say, I was really skeptical when they approached me to evaluate it. And I got the thing, and my kids haven't stopped playing it. They love this thing. I think it's up there. It's the same kind of thing with Minecraft. It's just so easy. There are all these tons of free games. Some of them make the Jungle Quest. What was the game? The jungle game back in the 80s.
Pitfall.
Pitfall.
Yeah. Make Pitfall look like 3D rendered graphics. That's how bad the graphics and something. And yet my kids play it for hours.
That's so funny. I mean, one of the big criticisms when it came out was that people basically said, it isn't better. It's worse than what you could do, like playing Android games on your phone.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's so fascinating.
And that's what I was expecting. But literally, we had to go out and buy another controller for it. My kids wanted to play two-player. That's how much they love this gaming system. So it took me by surprise. It took me by surprise.
Yeah, I fiddled with it a little bit at they had one set up at XOXO, and I hadn't seen one up close, so I played around with it a little bit. It's a neat idea, and if you're an indie game developer, it's a great way to it's a great tool to say here's where you can play my game, right?
From kind of a geek digital maker point of view, it is set up to make your own games. They've got a whole little section in there where you can go in and make your own games if you were so inclined.
So speaking of game time wasters, I'm curious. No, really. What is the mobile game that you find yourself losing all your time in, like on your mobile device?
For me right now, I'm playing Small World on my iPad.
Oh, it's such a good game.
Yeah, Small World. Lords of Waterdeep is coming out very soon.
For iPad?
Yes.
What? Okay. Yes. I love that board games translate so well to tablet computing. It's
and they reduce the boredom factor of the, especially with something like Small World where there's so much setup.
Yep.
In the actual board game, it just does it all for you, which is so nice.
Well, the new version's got pass and play. It's got 4-player mode, and it's got all of the downloadable content, which, adding all those expansions. We do Carcassonne on the iPad.
I still play Carcassonne. That's the one I
constantly
most. Yeah.
But I'd say the number one time waster for me has been Kingdom Rush. It's one of those. Desktop tower defense. Well, here's the terrible part. Like, it came out like 2 years ago, and I bought it, and I couldn't put the stupid thing down until I'd beat every level on every difficulty. I'm like, whew, okay, there's not a single more achievement I can get. I can put this stupid thing down. And then they came out with Kingdom Rush Frontiers, and I've been like holding off, and then it went on sale for 99 cents, and I'm closing my eyes, and I hit, but actually I use my Touch ID, which made it even easier. I just, my fingerprint, boop, buys the stupid thing, and now I'm doomed. It's ridiculous.
It's dangerous having the
finger. It is dangerous.
Yeah. It is. That's true. Yeah.
Mine for about 2 weeks, two or three weeks, a month, was Dots. I could not put that game down where you're connecting the dots. You seen that one?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I learned about it at a conference I was at, and I could not put it down for it. And then it just was like, I can't do this anymore. It's just too monotonous now.
So, I've been playing a lot of Quiz Up, which is basically trivia quizzes. It matches you with people somewhere in the world, and you can challenge people, and you can challenge your friends. And it's got topics of ranging, from history to TV to movies to, and you get experience points based on how well you do. So even if you lose, you still get points. You just get more points if you win, obviously. And
such a 90s thing. Even if you
it's based on how many questions you answer correctly, and it's got achievements, of course. Like if you answer no questions right, or if you answer everything perfectly, and it's how quickly you answer, then you get more points if you answer quickly. And when you get up to like a certain level, it gives you titles that you can take if you want to, based on I got to level 20 in the Star Wars original trilogy category. Under movies, and it gave me the title of Wookiee, So I had to take that, obviously.
That's one thing I've been thinking about the last couple of days is, do you really do the achievements, do those type of motivating factors, do they really get you to play? I find more and more that they just really don't do much for me.
I'm one of those people who will say, oh, you know what? I just got 2 stars on this, whatever, Angry Birds level. I'm going to play it again. And I tend to do that.
Yeah.
Before I won't play the whole thing through and then go back and fill in. It's like, no, I'm not going to go to the next one yet. I'm going to do this one again. Yeah. I find myself doing that, and then I think it's silly, but I think it's your personality type. It's like, no, wait, I'm not done yet.
Well, I think there's two different things there, though. There's gamification, where you get special achievements or for attaining certain things. And the other side is the OCD, not doing something perfectly.
That's true.
Go back and do it over and over again until you get it
perfect. More, though, in terms of things like, World of Warcraft, where you've got to go out and you've got to mine so much, or you got to kill so many sheep, or you got to do all these things. And it gets that kind of monotonous type of thing you've got to do to level up. I see my son doing that type of stuff on Minecraft, and I'm just like, I don't think I could go back to doing that. I think I did too much. I burned out on that when I played Ultima.
Yeah.
I killed
all kids learn patience these days.
What was that?
That's how kids learn patience these days.
is that what you call it? Patience?
It's one word. For it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, what I call it is, oh wow, one guy want to ride my bike? I got a bow. The all over the place. So
I gotta find one other thing. I know it's out for iPad, and I haven't downloaded it because I played it on Steam so much. Is Shadowrun Returns?
Mm-hmm.
I really want to try that out on iPad and see what they did with that. Well, on Steam, on playing it on the Mac has been fantastic. Just so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever played Shadowrun as an RPG back in the day, I mean, as a tabletop game.
Because I started running Call of Cthulhu for my daughter and her friends, and it really brings home to me how different it is doing a real RPG versus a computer RPG. It's just no comparison. Just the things you do in an RPG.
Actual role playing.
Yeah, exactly. Because like I had to reward one of the players because I just put out some books about symbolism, and this one kid found basically what was going on in the game. He found the symbol for that, and I hadn't even mentioned it in the game yet. He just kind of pieced it together from clues, did some research in the books I happen to have in hand, and came up with like about, you know, a tenth of the explanation of the entire adventure just from that. And I was like, well, I got to reward that. You know, a computer game could ever, you know, make those types of leaps.
I think that's actually the key. I've actually been doing lots of running of hero kids and modified rule sets as my kids they're 5 and 6.5. Now, I promised my daughter that when she hits 8, I'm done with half ages. just like 2 years.
Promised her or told her?
I told her, honey. She's like, half. I'm like, all right, when you hit 8, no more. And then when you hit 2, you're done.
No,
you're done with months, right?
right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 26 months old now. I've been finding that, you know, role-playing games with my kids has been an amazing exercise in storytelling, in problem-solving. But now I'm implementing new rules, which are like simple math things. So my kids are now in school learning basic addition. And they have to – I'm trying to get them off of counting on their fingers. And so now due to rolling 2d6, add those two numbers together, what do you get? And then sometimes there's a modifier at the end. So I make them go through quick little bits of math, and only ask for dice rolls when it adds to the drama. Otherwise, it's 100%. If you say you do it, then it's done, or, you know, and it's successful. And the second thing is, you know, combat is like the very last thing that they get to. And it's so fun to watch their little brains problem solve. And it's so hard as a game master for adults, where, you know, sometimes it gets hyper competitive. It's me against all you jerks, and let's, you know, throw down on the rules, and I'm gonna knock y'all down and TPK. What's up, right? With my kids, it's not that at all. I'm rooting for them and encouraging every unique outside of the box idea.
Yeah.
And they're having so much fun. And I mean, they get to make stuff up. They're like, oh, maybe it's trapped and it's going to, like, those mushrooms are going to start screaming at us. I'm like, okay, yeah, they probably will. And then they're like, I use my magic sneezing powder that I've got. I'm like, you do. Where'd you get it? And they're like, well, I made it when my mom had a cold. And I'm like, great. You know, and so.
You know what I really wish would come back?
It wasn't on your character sheet when you started the game. It doesn't.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I really wish John Kovalik would bring back Snapdragons. That was just such a great comic series. Snapdragons. Did anybody else read it, John? You know John Kovalik. He's like this guy.
Just this guy, you know.
He did a series called Snapdragons, and it was about these kids who were in a role-playing game. And Gilly from... was their babysitter.
Gilly.
How cool is that? and they were... It was just this strip about these kids in the role-playing game. It was just a great series. I think it was part of what inspired my daughter to want to do role-playing was she read that.
I'll have to ask John, see if we could rerun it on...
that's a good idea. He wrote that. He wasn't the artist on it, but he wrote it, so...
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
There's another web comic called Sidekick Quest. Have you seen that one? Mm-mm. It's the artist is James Stowe, and he's a it's not kids playing RPG. It's like the sidekicks of the heroes in an RPG sort of setting. And it's like, oh, here's their apprentices and things, and they go off on a quest. And the way that the story is told, every so often it's like, oh, you know, he's going to get up and do this. And I think when he draws the comic, he actually will roll a die. right? And so he'll put the die result there. And so there was things like, okay, you know, money's going to do this thing. And then, like, he totally botched this roll. So he, like, falls off the table.
Yeah. Oh, I had my daughter rolled a, cool. a 100 while she was making a shot, standing right next to a character being played by her boyfriend. And I was like, I have no choice. You shoot him in the foot. And that's been, like, their thing ever since then is don't shoot him in the foot. You know, don't shoot your boyfriend in the foot.
Well, Jason, they aren't 6.5 anymore, so I say go for it. You know? Yeah. It's a game of tough choices, you know. Yeah. And
hey, you can get Volume 1 of Snapdragons on Amazon for $11.69.
It's well worth it. It's well worth it. It's
written by John Kovalik and Liz Rathke.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So no,
it's really good.
So anyone that's listening or watching the recording and is an entrepreneur and likes building apps or wants an idea, I suffered from laryngitis for 4 days, and my job is to talk. I do radio and all this other fun stuff, and I was resorting to using a speech dictation application, and it was terrible. But I literally had to carry this in my pocket so I could play this.
I lost my voice. Yes, really.
And so,
yes, like, really. You had to put yes,
yes really. Yes, and you know, on my computer, yeah, really. I had text pad open right. using Mac's speech to text. So I set up a hotkey, and it would be like, you know, I'm sorry, I can't talk. I lost my voice. I'm tired of sounding like Stephen Hawking. You know, and you know, I had all of these like things queued up. And but if someone could make an app where you could actually pre-build all of your sayings that you need. You know, it doesn't exist. I looked for
really?
It. So everything is a translation one. So you just
in text-to-speech macros.
Yeah, like pre-built ones. Exactly, right? Like, I lost my voice, really, or yes, thank you. You know, something along those lines.
Yeah, you do some sort of interface between text expander and a nuance button, you know, Dragon Naturally Speaking or something.
Something like that, you know, and so losing your voice and being unable to communicate, and you need to have a chalkboard or a whiteboard or something to write. It was an incredibly frustrating situation, but what from a science perspective, it reinforces the fact that our brains have that mirroring, like we fire off and we mirror what we see. And so when I'd be talking really quiet, everybody in the room would start whispering. I'm like, it's okay. Yeah. I'm the only one who can't talk. And so even my kids would be coming up like, Dad, I want to go to bed now.
Well, so, yeah, that's why when you want to win an argument, you actually start talking lower.
Right, yeah. Right.
Wait. Well, go back.
In a similar vein of needed apps, my daughter had a really bad concussion a few weeks ago, and she's still recovering from it. And she would need to get us, you know, and she didn't want to yell because it hurt her head to yell. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if she, you know, I remember those days when you had the little bell that you would ring. Why wouldn't somebody make an app where you pick up your phone and you just shake it and it rings everybody else's iPhone with like a little bell to let you, oh, okay, Jocelyn needs me. Run upstairs and...
It's true, though, you know, and like I felt like my kids were like my pets at one point, because to get their attention, they'd be fighting about like clapping, or I'd be whistling, everything short of go get the ball. It was ridiculous. And no, so
the best way of getting kids' attention is to get on a phone call.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So
they're right on you.
I'd say the high point, like the best feeling I've had in days was actually Sunday afternoon. My voice came back when I could look across the room and say, stop fighting with your sister and get their attention without having to resort to snapping or clapping my hands. It was epic. It was like, wow, what have I been missing out on all this time? Punishment.
Okay, all right. So we've got some app ideas. This will be the official Geek Dad app when we come out with it. And utilities for everyday parenting.
A like, servant bell, virtual servant bell. Ding, ding, ding.
That's awesome.
They could easily get over
here. Eventually, you just don't want to strain your vocal cords to begin with. Why take that risk? So you'll just, you know.
I want to go back to what Ryan said. When your kids say, Daddy, I want to go to bed.
No, they do.
Like, Mike, I've never heard that phrase.
Yep.
I actually, it's funny, the older my kids get, the more I hear that.
Yeah, my teenagers do it, yeah.
I'm tired, I'm going to sleep
now. Yeah, no, I get that too, totally.
I mean, I get the, you know, I don't want to get out of bed in the morning, but I rarely hear the I want to go to bed.
Yeah, no. It's lots of training and consistency, Jonathan. Like exceptional, heroic amounts of being very consistent with the schedule.
Right, and sneaking some antihistamines into their dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Or melatonin, you know, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Or just vodka, you know, it's good.
Hey, you know, nothing a white Russian can't fix.
All right, so last thing, we're cruising in on an hour here almost. One other thing I was going to bring up, it's not totally geeky, but it's very well executed and kind of neat. Has anyone else watched the official music video for "Like a Rolling Stone" by Bob Dylan?
Nope.
No.
This just came out today.
Song "Must Be Christmas" is one of the greatest videos ever made.
But, well, this just came out today, and it is the official video for the, you know, 40-year-old song, right, or whatever it is. But they just put this out. It took a while. And what it is basically, it's as if you were watching television. It is a semi-interactive video, and basically it's like you're watching television, and on every channel, the people that are doing whatever the show is on that channel are singing along to the song. And you can literally actively switch from channel to channel and catch them while they're doing it. Some of them are actually, it's Drew Carey on The Price is Right. It's the Property Brothers from HGTV. It's the Pawn Stars. It's Marc Maron. It's a few like that. And then there's a couple that are just set up as sort of like generic representations of like a business news show, and you know, all these things. And it's hilarious. You can just click, 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 and it's really rather genius. It's really good.
Cool.
Have to check that out.
I think it's bobdylan.com. Let's see. Video.bobdylan.com.
I'll have to check that one out.
It's pretty amazing.
I've got one.
I was going to say, the problem is you have to listen to him singing it, right?
Yes, you do.
Hey!
That's the price you have to pay.
Hey, music's not all about the, you know, yeah.
It's a great song. He's a horrible, horrible singer.
Some of his older stuff actually is not bad.
Oh yeah, I know, but he's gotten worse.
Well, yeah.
I saw him and Paul Simon when they were touring together years ago. This was over a decade ago, before my kids were born, and in Massachusetts. And I went with a couple of friends, and the way they did it is they had. The way that they do it on a tour is one of them would do a set, then the other one would come on, they'd do a couple of songs together, and then the first one would leave and the other one would do a set. Fortunately, on the night we went, Paul Simon went first, because when Dylan started his set, we couldn't figure out what he was singing without listening to just
the
music.
Like saying,
he was so incredibly unintelligible. None of us could figure it out.
That's like saying Sid Vicious couldn't play guitar. I mean, he couldn't, but...
You couldn't understand a word that was coming out of the man's mouth. It was like he had swallowed a mouthful of marbles.
I've had that confirmed multiple times in the recent past that it's just atrocious. It's actually unfortunate and sad.
A little bit
of you dies inside.
Yeah, we actually got up and left in the middle, you know, before he was done, because we're like, this just isn't any fun to listen to. You know, it was really bad.
All right, that's depressing. Can I give some really happy news? Who is a Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan?
Yes. Oh, yes. Thanksgiving.
All right. Thanks. Who remembers Turkey Day?
Yeah.
That was my favorite new tradition. There's no tradition like a new tradition. They're bringing it back. Joel's going to be doing a six-hour marathon. If you go to mst3kturkeyday.com.
Six-hour or six-episode?
I think 6 hours is what they said. Here you go. This streaming event will kick off on Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 noon Eastern time, on Thursday, November 28th. Fans who have suggestions for episodes they'd like to see included are encouraged to tweet Joel G. Hodgson with their votes. I've already tweeted that I'd like to see some side hacking. Everybody remembers that great episode. But it's actually not given. There was an Entertainment Weekly article about it. That is where I first heard about it. So something to, you know, if you're not into sports, then something else to do on Thanksgiving. And, of course, family. My wife has already decided that she's not going to have anything to do that day because my kids and I will be watching this all day. And I told her, honey, we'll only watch, you know, half of it. So.
That's what DVRs are for.
The sacrifices you're making.
Well, think about that. You can't really DVR this. I mean, there are programs.
It's online, yeah.
No, that's true. Yeah.
To do the streaming, but it's being sponsored by Shout Factory, who sell the DVDs.
Yeah,
Shout Factory. Way for them to sell the DVDs. I buy them now on Apple TV myself. So.
Yeah, there isn't enough on Netflix at this point. They've only got like 4 or 5 episodes on Netflix.
No, they took it completely off. I don't even.
They took it completely off, man.
Yeah, they took it completely off. And I don't think it's on Hulu either. It is on iTunes. So I've started buying a few. I've started buying a few. Robot Monster. Can't beat Robot Monster.
All right. And last but not least, there are linguists now starting to argue that our language is changing enough that the word because will soon be recognized as a preposition.
Because?
Science.
I hate that word. I was in remedial spelling until 8th grade because I couldn't spell because. I couldn't E-A-A-E. What?
Yeah. It's the construct because plus noun where, you know, implies that the reference line of reasoning is weak. So you just say, of course evolution is true because science.
See, I love language because it evolves. It grows.
Or shrinks sometimes.
Or shrinks.
Degrades.
I don't see a loss.
Linguistic entropy. What
you... They're far worse. Like the overuse of the word love. I mean, what does love mean? I love cake.
Oh, and of course, it was the word of the year.
Selfie. Yeah.
Selfie.
Yeah. Selfie. Yeah.
God, I hate that word.
Actually, the other thing I wanted to bring up is Friday. We're going to be writing about this week. Friday is Wear Your Old Band T-Shirt Day. B-A-N-D, not as in band, as in a
not
band.
Not B-A-N-N-E-D, although that, yeah, you know, yeah. We could do both, too.
That's Smith's T-shirt, right? And it's BBC Six Music is putting it on, I don't know. And they're taking selfies, that's why I brought it up. They're going to publish selfies of people in their band T-shirts. So Friday, wear your band T-shirt to work, take a picture of yourself, and you will go down in history.
I'm trying to remember if I have any band T-shirts.
Yeah, I don't think I have any.
No, I don't.
But I also don't have work.
I don't think I have any that actually still fit me. Is the problem. Have them, maybe.
Alas.
You know, and you wear them. I'm going to go over to Hot Topic. And
right. Buy a new one that looks old, right?
So I'll get some pollen store
T-shirt.
Do they let people our age into Hot Topic?
I go in there all the time.
Yes, to buy stuff for our kids.
Yeah. I kind of resent Hot Topic because when I was a kid, we had to search high and low for that type of stuff. Now you just go to the mall.
I was just excited about band T-shirt day to wear, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird T-shirt, but then you defined it to, you know, an actual band. One thing I wanted to mention, I think this is, I've been talking to a couple of fellow geeks, you know, throughout the day about this, and I call it the Netflix phenomenon. And it's where, you know, we all have periods in our life in which we just had like a kid or a new job or some event in which we just kind of like went into media blackout and we just missed things, right? And then you're going through Netflix and what this TV show where I remember hearing about this, and this happened to my wife and I with Arrow. And like, we're like, it's on Netflix? And now we can't get enough. We're like, we'll watch three more tonight. We'll be really responsible, you know, tomorrow. We can get by on 4 hours of sleep. You can't, by the way.
Are you caught up with Arrow?
No. There's 23 episodes in the first season, and I think we're like 8 episodes in. It's so good.
The second season has started on Hulu, and if you don't catch up, they'll start dropping. Yeah.
We're doing our best to get through. But and if anyone else missed that show in the time loop of life, I am loving it. It is.
Yeah, I recommend it. Really good.
Really hit for you because we've watched the first three, maybe four. And I like it okay. My wife's not quite as, but I'm not like completely blown away. So what point would you say it was like, oh, okay, this is it?
It's a TV show and it's about superheroes. And no.
Which episode do you think? You hooked from the beginning?
I was kind of hooked from the beginning, and it's actually the backstory. It's not even like the current day thing that's got me the most excited.
It's
the stuff on the island. So, you know, it's kind of what kind of had me interested in Lost, too, is that back and forth. You, like, quit switching away from the story I really want to hear more about.
Did you watch Lost until the end, though?
The big sin plug of evil or some weird... Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, this is not going to do that, but let's just put it this way. I'm enjoying Arrow a whole heck of a lot. I did the same thing. I had not watched it through season one, found it on Netflix, started watching an episode every night while I was doing the dishes.
Yep.
Got hooked, and I caught up completely, and now I'm watching the new season. And just every little thing, you know, they're reimagining stuff from the continuity, but they're throwing everything in some way, shape, or form.
Which is so good, all the crossovers. And
so fun. And we're now getting ready for the...
Have they actually mentioned the word green yet? Or is that banned?
It was actually in episode 6. They're sitting around the dinner table and someone's like, you know, they're like, so what about this hood? And they're like, yeah, he's like, it's a really bad name. And so like, well, what about Green Arrow? And he's like, ah, it's stupid too.
That's even worse.
let's just say they're going so far as in, I think, episode 8 and 9, we will feature the young criminologist from Central City coming and visiting the particle accelerator. So.
I thought they changed their mind.
Get away from chemicals.
What do you mean change their mind?
I thought they said that they were gonna. I heard that they were gonna make a separate.
They are doing a separate.
Flash.
There's gonna be a pilot, but the these are normal episodes, and then later in the season was gonna be the backdoor pilot, but now they've decided to actually turn it into its own pilot.
How is it comparing to S.H.I.E.L.D. then? Because we watched the first couple episodes.
I hate to say it, I'm enjoying it more than S.H.I.E.L.D. right now.
Yeah, me too.
I'm waiting for S.H.I.E.L.D. to kick in.
Yeah.
Tonight's episode wasn't bad. Connecting
with... Well, see, that's kind of faint praise right there. Wasn't bad.
connecting with the Thor movie. I like bits of it. There are some of the characters I could kind of take or leave.
Sky can go away.
Anytime. I don't like her. But I always like Ming-Na. And I like Coulson.
That's the problem. When the characters who's supposed to be the everyman that connects you to the secret team, nobody likes.
No. It definitely needs work. It definitely needs work, but it's still an enjoyable show.
Sky is the character that should have been played by Eliza Dushku, you know, so.
Eliza Dushku has never really won me over
I was going to say she's never really blown me away in terms of her acting ability, but
I should mention, getting back to Doctor Who, their BBC is going to be premiering a new fantasy show afterwards called Atlantis,
right?
And I've gotten to preview the first couple of episodes, and it's pretty good. I won't say it's not bad because that's obviously faint praise, but it's actually pretty good. It turns a lot of the mythology on the head, kind of the story behind the legend type of scenario, and it's been pretty clever and entertaining so far. The first several episodes.
Well, Ken, I think Jason just took us full circle, which is an omen.
That was excellent.
That's actually a Doctor Who episode, full circle.
Yeah, you did it. Ooh, very good. Ooh. All right.
Point Jason.
So with that, let's call this a done episode. This has been the Geek Dads episode number 140. I want to thank Mr. Matt Blum, as always.
You're very welcome.
And Mr. Jonathan Liu, thank you for showing up. And well, thank good. Nobody needed your wife.
Nobody
tonight.
Needed. Yeah. Thank nobody goodness. Needed.
there were no crises at the hospital tonight.
Right.
Excellent. Jason, always great to see you. Thanks for coming on. I'm glad we were able to tiptoe around the spoilers. Excellent. And Ryan, thank you so much for returning, sir.
You're welcome.
Oh no, he lost his voice again. Dang it. Dang it. All right.
It'll turn up. It'll turn up.
And so that's it, folks. We will be back in 2 weeks. I'm sad to say it does not look like Z and I are going to do a 12 Days of Geekmas this year. I was trying to talk him into maybe doing a one-shot or something, but we're just not quite in a place to be able to pull that off this year. So for the first year in, I think, 5 years, there will not be a 12 Days of Geekmas. I apologize for that. But in 2 weeks, I will announce this right now. It looks like we will have a beloved returning guest. I believe Mr. David Hewlett will be coming back on the podcast next time around. So stay tuned for that. Always enjoyable. And until then, thank you, everyone, for listening. Yeah.
And happy Thanksgiving to all the Americans listening.
Happy Thanksgiving. And everyone take care. So long. And we will see you next time. So long.
So long.
Bye-bye.